Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
About a year and a half now, at 25 past four, I've chatted to Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the NICD and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. I mean, just one of those would have been enough, never mind both. Prof stopped his regular slot with us last week, and I thought, okay, that's all very well and good. It's time for the exit interview. And that is why we have got Professor Shoub back this afternoon to talk about everything but unrelated to COVID. Professor Shoub, it's absolutely wonderful to have you back with us this afternoon. Are you well?
Yes, thanks very much, Simon. Great to be with you. How are you doing?
I am smiling from ear to ear. I've been looking forward to this all day because all the questions I've wanted to ask you and couldn't, I now can. So I have a license.
I hope I can answer them.
I reckon you absolutely can. Let me start with the first one. You tell me if you can answer this. So I reckon you look pretty young and in good nick, Prof. Shoub.
Right.
And yet somebody whispered in my ear that you actually got pulled out of retirement to come back to work when this pandemic broke out. Would that be correct?
Yeah, can you believe it? I was actually in glorious retirement, actually busy trying to write a couple of books and so on. But it was very nice, it was very nice having the freedom of retirement. And then I think when COVID broke, we were actually on our way to a holiday in Storms River. And Zev Kringle, who's the vice president of the SA Board of Deputies, he finally said, look, you can't go. You've got to stay here. You've got to help out with the community. If there are queries, if there are decisions to be made, if the board needs to kind of consult you, there's schools, there's shuls, there's everybody wants to know about COVID. This was, I guess about March of 2020, March of last year. So that was our last holiday, my wife and me. That's the last time we had our holiday, in fact. Well, no, we didn't have it then. We weren't going to have it. And that was it. That was the end of it.
Well, all I can say is thanks to Zev Kringle for making that call, because the role that you've played has been really important for all of us over the last year and a half. Before I go further down that aspect, there's just something that has been puzzling me for a year and a half, which is why you picked virology. You could have gone that glamorous route of brain surgery. You've chosen the smallest, weeniest, teeniest thing on the planet to study. Why? What drew you to virology?
You know, it's all part of what we call unpredicted evolution, I guess. You know, I actually originally did pathology, histopathology.
You're
and
joking.
Then went into microbiology, and then went on to virology.
Way.
My predecessor at the institute was a fellow called Wally Przeski, and he went on to become the vice chancellor of Pretoria and the president of the Medical Research Council. Anyway, one day he kind of picked up the phone and said, look, Barry, you got a choice. Do you want to do virology, immunology? So I took the easier one. That was virology. And it was the least I could get into.
You're joking.
And
wow.
Cut my teeth on a virus called rotavirus, which causes gastroenteritis on infants. And that enabled us to get to America, where I spent a while at the National Institute of Health, you know, the NIH. And that's how things go, you know. A career is a maze, you know. You can kind of predict when you, in the younger ages, where you're going to get to. But sometimes you kind of take a left turn or a right turn. Eventually you get to your destination, but it's not always a straight line.
Would you do it all again?
I think so. I really enjoyed it. It has been great. It's been stimulating. And I mean, the field of viruses is incredibly, incredibly stimulating intellectually. And now with COVID, I mean, it's been really an amazing intellectual exercise. And obviously there's a tremendous human cost. But in addition to that, there's a great scientific endeavor that's kind of unrolled. And it's been very challenging, very interesting, and very stimulating.
So when you embarked on this illustrious career, young doctor in your early 20s, did you in your wildest dreams anticipate that we would be in the situation that we are now? Or was this an inevitability at some point?
Well, I think it was totally unanticipated. You know, this pandemic which we've got now is, you know, I don't think anybody has lived through this. You know, the last one was 1918-19. I don't think there's any survivors from then. And we haven't had anything like this since then. So this is a completely novel, new, unknown learning all in it. As a colleague of mine said, there are no experts in this. Everybody's learning.
I started thinking about this. I just had an unrelated thought in the shower the other night, thinking where we are in terms of our intellectual abilities and the development of AI.
Yeah.
It was probably serendipitous that it happened now, because, Prof, we couldn't have engineered these vaccines in the kind of time period that we did had we not been where we are now in terms of our intellectual development.
Absolutely. You know, our scientific, you know, the science of vaccinology and immunology and those related sciences has now so advanced. It is so sophisticated. You know, we get scientific literature. It's impossible, totally impossible to keep, even with a COVID vaccine literature. You kind of got to have trying shortcuts to get to that literature. And I think it's a reflection of how the science has advanced. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, vaccines up to now have taken 10, 20, some of even 100 years. You look at the smallpox vaccine, you look at something like typhoid vaccine. That's taken over 100 years to develop a vaccine since the organism was first discovered. Now, this particular organ, COVID, the virus, the SARS-CoV virus 2, that was first isolated. Well, look, the first case was in December. They isolated the virus in January. They characterized the virus at the end of January, and they developed a vaccine in October, November of the same year. Unheard of. Using completely new, novel technologies. It's amazing.
It's actually completely and utterly mind-blowing. So you're a man of science and you understand all the science. Did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into in terms of the public? And I'm thinking about the reactions, both positive and negative, to your job on the ministerial committee and the like. Did you anticipate any of what you had to face?
I think we did have a, you know, let me take a step back. You know, I still you talk about when I came back from retirement, and that was really to serve the Jewish community. At that stage, I really had no inkling that I'd be go national with the Ministerial Advisory Committee. And then my friend and colleague, you probably heard his name, Slim Abdul Karim.
Yes, big time.
He's been very much in the news now. He's actually now left the COVID. He's left me to handle it. But anyway, one day he kind of phoned me up and said, Barry, do you want to come onto the Ministerial Advisory Committee? That was his one, the general one. And then now I got a call from the minister to head the vaccine one, which is only started in September last year. So there was some inkling that it's going to be a controversial issue. You're never, ever going to kind of have everybody satisfied. My only plea is that people that do criticize must do it from a point of knowledge. You know, there's a famous saying that Senator Daniel Moynihan said, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
I like that. Yeah.
And I think this is it. You know, there's, unfortunately in this, you know, one can understand to some extent that people, myself included, we're all impatient. We want to get people vaccinated as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. It's the only way that we're going to bring down this awful burden on the healthcare system and the dreadful cost that it's causing to the community and the population generally. But, you know, people can't just kind of criticize if they don't have the background. And the background to the vaccine and purchase of vaccine distributed is complex. It's not easy. There are criticisms. We in our VMAC, we criticize the government quite a few times. But, you know, it's got to be from a position of knowledge. And I think that's quite important.
Did you find it terribly frustrating that suddenly everybody and anybody was an absolute expert on vaccinations and virology and giving out very strong opinions as to whether one should or shouldn't be vaccinated? I mean, that would have driven me bonkers.
Yeah, it has been frustrating. I mean, even some of my colleagues, my medical colleagues, have voiced opinions which is not really based on facts and on science. But it has been frustrating. But you know, I think it's not unexpected, and I think to some ways it's quite good because it kind of does keep you on your toes. You do need to have to answer it with good factual evidence-based science. I think that's the critical thing.
It's interesting that I recall asking a doctor, a histopathologist actually, some time ago, as to how is it that he believed in God if he was a man of science? And he turned around to me and he said, it's because I am a man of God that I believe in science. Yeah. At least, sorry, that came out all the other way around. It's because I'm a scientist that I believe in God. And I thought that was absolutely remarkable. And it just made me think of you thinking, I mean, you are a religious man. Is that a similar kind of approach to?
I think so, yeah. You know, science answers the hows and religion answers the whys. You know, the W-H-Y.
No. I absolutely hear you and I understand that. I want to know if your wife has completely had it with you. She signed up for a retirement and you're probably busier now than you ever have been before.
Well, she hasn't told me that yet. She's still with me. She still supports me. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't think I would be able to carry on.
So what's your recipe for a successful marriage, Prop?
Communication, I guess.
Somebody once told me apathy. I thought apathy, that was great. Well. No, I mean, that was purely incredibly cynical, but I just thought it was rather funny.
I think you threw me a curved wall because my wife is next door.
and Professor Schubert, I just want to make it absolutely clear. I mean, you've left us because you've done it for a year and a half, but you are very definitely going to be very much involved in this whole pandemic. It doesn't stop here for you.
No, not at all. You know, we're really making critical decisions in the Ministerial Advisory Committee, vaccine decisions. So that's been very hectically busy lately. But certainly as far as the Jewish community is concerned, I mean, we're actually starting a weekly COVID update. It'll be on the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, Facebooks. You know, the reason I went for that is that I it's great doing radio, but I also needed to kind of show graphs, have some visual, support as well. So that's going to be at 12 noon on Wednesdays, on the Serving Jewish Board of Deputies. It's called Midweek COVID Update. One word, Midweek COVID Update. At gmail.com, you can email them to get onto the email list.
Professor Schubert, I can't believe that 15 minutes has flown like that. Who would have thought? I just want to thank you really from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for all that you've done here for us for the last year and a half. And it's been an absolute honor and a privilege. I think you are the best of what our community can be.
Joe, thanks so much, Simon. It's been a great pleasure. And really, I'm available. Please call on me if you need me. I'm really be happy to contribute, particularly to this community, which I really so cherish. This Jewish community is an amazing community. And if I can help in any way, I just need to be told how to do it.
That's a lovely place to leave it, Professor Shoup. Thank you so very much.